Jesus ate 5,000 people. I tell you what, I put the fear of God in folks that day. Either way, whether he fed them or ate them, it was a miracle. You know what the real miracle is? Nobody laughed. I think they were scared to. But we're going to have a great time. Amen. It'll be fun. It's not going to be just boring. We're going to sing Spanish songs. And we're going to do a Bible lesson, short little Bible lesson in Spanish. And you're going to learn vocabulary and all of those good things. So it'll be fun. And so we invite you. The band will be leaving at 6:20. If we can get a driver, it'll be coming over and we're going to have a great time. So we invite you to come. Again, it's an outreach. Its purpose is to get people in the door. We get them there Thursday. We're going to try to get them there Sunday and try to get some people coming that are not from just only from this church. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject. You don't have to stand. I'm going to be reading a lot of verses. And if you get up and down, it'll be like a yo-yo here. But so just stay seated. But I want to preach tonight on the essential ease. The essential ease. David said in Psalm 34:1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that beautiful? I would like to learn what David learned. Amen. He was saying, what he's saying here is, in the good days, I'm going to bless the Lord. And on my bad days, I'm going to bless the Lord. When I'm feeling good, I'm going to bless the Lord. And when I'm feeling bad, I'm going to bless the Lord. And you know what? The more you bless the Lord, the more good days you're going to have, and the more good times you're going to have, and the better you're going to feel most of the time. That's right. He said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. I praise God today that he can put a praise in our heart if we let him. Amen. And it's a whole lot better to praise the Lord than it is to complain. Have you ever felt better when you were complaining? Has that ever made you feel better? Oh, I feel so bad today. That never made me feel any better. Oh, maybe somebody felt sorry for me. And that's the reason I said it, you know. I wanted a little bit of pity. Amen. But it never did really help. I still hurt. Amen. But I have praised my way out of some situations. Amen. I've had some days when I really didn't feel good at all. And I got to praising and thanking God and giving Him glory and exalting His name. And the next thing I knew, I was feeling all right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David said one time, he said that he could run through a troop and jump over a wall. Amen. I have been praising God till I felt like I could jump over a troop and run through the wall. Amen. That's feeling good in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Tommy Kraft said one time, he said, I feel so good, I could go bear hunting with a switch. And the next night he said, I feel so good, I could go bear hunting with a switch and give the switch to the bear. Amen. He's feeling good. Hallelujah. Feeling good. And when you praise the Lord, it brings joy and it brings peace and it brings power into your life. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know what? Humble people know how to worship, and humble people appreciate God. Proud people and haughty people never understand. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. Amen. But he said, the humble, they're going to be glad to hear what the Lord has done for me. Amen. Because that means that they can, he can do the same for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, humble people boast in the Lord. Proud people boast in themselves. Haughty people, it's always about me and mine. You know, they got eye trouble. It's everything's about I, me, my, mine. Amen. But whenever the humble, you see, they make their boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I love this invitation that David gives in this third verse when he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Don't you love that? Now, I don't want you to answer this question because somebody will get it wrong and you'll feel bad. So just wait till I answer it and then you can say amen, all right? But I'm going to ask the question anyway. What happens when you magnify something? Don't answer it. Because somebody will get it wrong. Somebody wanted to say, you make it bigger. No, you don't. No, you don't. When you magnify something, it does not get any bigger. It stays exactly the same. But when you magnify something, you can see it more clearly. It doesn't get any, but you put it under the microscope and you can see all of the intimate details of what you're looking at. But it doesn't get any bigger. Amen. It looks bigger, but it's not bigger. You can see it more clearly as you magnify. Now, that's what David meant when he said, magnify with me. How are you going to make God any bigger? You can't make him bigger. He's already omnipresent. He fills every void of a space. There's nowhere that God is not, and you can't get any bigger than that. When you magnify the Lord, you don't make him bigger, but you understand him better. Hallelujah. You get to looking at God and your problems appear to be smaller. If you magnify your problems, what happens? Oh, they get big, don't they? Man, I didn't even know that was there. Ooh. So the more you magnify your problems, the littler you feel. But the more you magnify the Lord, the smaller your problems appear. And you get to thinking, my goodness, if God is that big and if God is that great, then my problems are nothing for somebody like him. He can do anything. He can do everything. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's why you magnify the Lord. Praise God. Now, when you put something under a microscope, anybody looked under a microscope? Isn't that fun? Have you ever looked at a drop of water under a microscope? It is indeed living water. You see little things swimming around in there? And then you take a big drink? You always drink living water. All water's living water. Amen. Now you get some that's got bad stuff living in it. And you get some that's got good stuff living in it. But all water's living water. Thank God you can't see that when you drink or you'd die of thirst. You want to have a sleepless night? Get your just a little bit of your pillowcase and slip it under a microscope and look sleeping on. Get one of your sheets and slip it under a microscope. It's clean, Brother Grissom. You put it under a microscope and you see how clean it is. Amen. You see, when you magnify things, you see it much more clearly. Sometimes it's more than you want to know. There's things I don't want to know. When I go into a restaurant, I never want to visit the kitchen. I don't want to visit the kitchen. I made that mistake one time. I liked it. It's a good place to eat. I had to take some stuff back that it was a banquet, and I had to take some things back to the restaurant that belonged to them. I went back to the kitchen. I thought, oh, I wish I hadn't come back here. Amen. If I don't know, I enjoy it. But if I know too much, it ain't good. But you know what? The good thing about magnifying the Lord is He's all good. Amen. The more you can't find any fault in Him. You're not going to find anything wrong with Him. The more you inspect Him and the better you know Him, the more you'll love Him, the more you'll understand Him, and the increase of your faith will be great and grand because there's God is past finding out. But when you magnify Him, you see Him more clearly and you understand Him more thoroughly. Amen. And so David invited us. He said, magnify the Lord with me. It's as if he got to thinking, man, I'm doing all I can and it's not enough. Come help me, Brother Neil. Help here. This job's bigger than I can do. Let's get somebody else involved. Brother Wesley, come help us praise the Lord. Come help us magnify Him. We can't get this done by ourselves. This is a whole church project. Amen. This is a whole city project. This is a whole Texas-sized project. No, this is a world-sized. No, it's more than that. The whole universe ought to praise Him.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. And then he said, come, let us exalt His name together. Exalt. To exalt means to lift up, to put on high, to make very clearly visible. Amen. With the purpose of drawing attention to that which you're lifting up. Amen. People, you know, they get a flag and they wave it because they want to draw attention either to themselves but hopefully to the flag. Amen. Praise the Lord. What did the Scripture say? It said when sin comes in like a flood, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, would raise up a standard against it. In other words, he said God's going to lift up a flag and say, here I am. Amen. You can still see me. I'm still here. The flood may be raging. The wind may be blowing. It may be dark as night. The rain may be slashing. The thunder crashing. The lightning flashing. But I'm still here. You can always find God in a storm because He'll always exalt the standard. He'll always say, here I am. Amen. You can find me. I'll not hide myself from you. But you'll be able to see me because I'm here. And so David said, let's exalt His name together. Amen. That's, you know, that's why the Lord told us in the Ten Commandments, He said not to use His name in vain. His name is special. There's not very many reasons for the name of the Lord to use it. One is in prayer and one is in praise. So, and one is in conversation. But if you're not talking about the Lord to somebody, or praying to the Lord, or praising the Lord, just leave His name out of it. That's the only time to use the name of the Lord, is if you're talking about Him, or you're praising Him, or you're praying to Him. The rest of the time, find you another word. Amen. Fiddlesticks or something. But leave the name of the Lord out of it. Or anything that sounds like it. You know, sometimes people use shortcuts for the name of the Lord. Amen. We just need to learn how to weed those things out of our vocabulary. That's good, Brother Grissom. That's old-fashioned, but that's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want me to clarify that a little bit? You know where why people say G? You know where that comes from, right? If you're not going to finish it, and it's not praise, it's not prayer, and it's not conversation, just don't say it. Find you something else. Right? And gosh. And golly. Huh? All these little words we use. I'm just teaching something practical here tonight. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Brother Grissom, you know, I've been doing it my whole life. Well, good. Now it's time to change. When I was growing up, we used to call those swear words. And if I said one, my mama didn't like it. Amen. She taught me not to do that. And so for it's me, but it's easy not to use that. I grew up not saying those things because they were bywords. Instead of saying God's name, you use that instead. But it still had the indication of God's name. It still profaned the name of the Lord. And so there's some things that we can help ourselves. I know it's very common. I know our culture's rampant with it. But it would be good for you and I to make our conversation a little higher, wouldn't it? Is that all right? Amen. Pray. I'm not saying that you're going to hell if you say something like that. I'm just saying that it'll help you be a better Christian. Amen. It'll help your conversation to be more pure. It'll teach you even greater respect for the name of the Lord. And if we don't teach you, you'll never know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes people say, oh God, they're not talking to God. They're just using His name in vain. Sometimes people say, oh Jesus, they're not talking to Jesus. They're using His name in vain. It's not just cuss words He's talking about. It's using His name in vain when you don't mean it. It's not a prayer. It's not praise. It's just not conversation. Amen. You're just using it in place of something else. And so let's exalt the name of the Lord. Let's make it special. Let's lift it high. Let's preserve it for what it's meant for prayer and for praise. Hallelujah. That's why we exalt the name of the Lord. It's above every name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the first E is exaltation. Amen. You want to feel better? Learn to exalt the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Get up in the morning and say, this is a day that the Lord hath made. And He don't make no junk. Amen. It's not going to be a bad day because God don't make any bad days. I said it's not going to be a bad day because God don't make any bad days. You may have some bad circumstances. You may have some difficult times. But if God is in it, it's going to be a good day. Amen. You declare this is going to be a good day because this is a gift from God. Amen. The Lord made this day. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you go out of the door rejoicing and giving God praise. I promise you it's going to make a difference in your day. Amen. Somebody asked one lady, said, did you get up grumpy this morning? She said, no, I let him sleep. Amen. Well, he needs to learn, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It'll make any day better if you'll just learn to praise the Lord. Exalt His name. Exaltation. Exaltation. Amen. The Bible, the Lord said that He inhabits the praise of His people. That's God's address. You wonder where God lives? He lives in praise. When people start praising, the Lord draws near. Amen. Jaron Davis wrote a song, when the praises go up, God's glory comes down. Hallelujah. You want to find God, you start exalting. You start lifting praise. And when you do that, He comes down. He meets with you. And He transforms your situation. Exaltation is an essential E for the Christian. And then we need to learn exhortation. Amen. The Bible talks about exhortation. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. To reading. Amen. If you can read, you need to thank somebody, a teacher that taught you. Like my little wife. Hey, my daughter. Somebody, if you read, somebody taught you to read. Amen. And reading is one of the greatest gifts that anybody can ever give you. If you can read, you can travel anywhere in the world or in the universe. If you can read, you can grow. You can grow your knowledge. I've heard people say, I don't like to read. Well, there are probably some other things you don't like. Just learn to like it. It'll help you grow. It'll help you grow. Amen. Now, I understand that there are people that have difficulties. I do understand that. And I understand. If you do, then you do. And I'm not in any way trying to put anybody down here. Please understand that. In my very family, we have people that have situations. They don't read well. And they do the best they can, but they don't read well. And I understand that. Amen. I do. And I wish they did. I understand why they can't. But if you can, did you know the Bible encourages you to read? That's pretty good, Brother Grissom.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Learn to read. Enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Reading is very important for us. I mean, the Bible said that we are to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's our job to educate ourselves in the Lord. Reading can do that. Reading can do that. So I encourage you. Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, you need to read, son. You need to read. Every culture that's a literate culture is a culture that is exalted. Every culture that is not a literate culture will always be subservient to the one that's literate, the one that reads. That's right. You look through history, you'll discover that to be true. You know what's happening to America? We're moving away from reading. We're getting away from it. And the further we get from reading, and the more we substitute movies and entertainment, the weaker we will become. One of our great problems in America, if I can just go ahead and say this real quickly without stepping on anybody's toes, is we have become so entertainment-oriented. Very few people can still discipline their mind long enough to read. Our country has been trained to sitcoms that everything's solved in 30 minutes. Amen. No matter how bad the problem, you can work it out in 30 minutes and everybody will be happy. Life doesn't work like that. Amen. But that's what an entertainment society does. It gives you unrealistic expectations of life. Amen. One of the reasons that people are so dissatisfied today is all they see is other people doing better than they're doing themselves. Huh? Every day on the television it tells you that everybody else is living in nice houses and driving nice cars and wearing better clothes than I have and making more money than I make. Poor me. My situation's bad. You owe it to me. The problem's not that we don't have enough. The problem is we just want whatever has. You want to learn how to be happy? Don't worry about what somebody else has. You just be happy with what you've got. Amen. Don't have enough? Work harder. Amen. Don't expect somebody else to give it to you. Go get it yourself. Brother Grissom, you sure are preaching good tonight. You're telling it like it is. I read this week, matter of fact, it may have been this afternoon, somebody, you know what, in one of the presidential campaigns, they're using the Bible to try to shore up this man's expectations. He says, you know, that the Bible says that you're supposed to share. Yeah, I want to share, but don't take it away from me. The Bible doesn't teach that you take what is somebody else's and give it to somebody else. It's a sharing situation. If I want to share, let me share. But you have no right to put your hands on what belongs to me. Even if you're the United States government. You don't have the right to take what I earned and what I worked for and what I sweated for and the education that I sacrificed to earn and the living that I make and take that away from me and give it to somebody that doesn't want to work. There's nothing biblical about it. You want the Bible? Here's the Bible. If you don't want to work, don't eat. That's what the Bible said. You're too lazy to work? Just don't eat then. I promise you'll get inspired pretty soon. Or you'll expire. Amen. The Bible doesn't put up with laziness. It doesn't put up with people that are having a pity party down on themselves and always bad-mouthing somebody else that got something that they don't have. The Bible teaches a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. Woo! My. Hey, I'm still in the Word here. Amen. Some people think, well, you know, the Bible just wants us all to be the same. Well, you know who teaches that? Let me just ask you a question. If you like that, there's other countries that teach that. China does. Cuba does. Cuba's been in revolution for 60 years, and they're still revolving. I mean, if they're ever going to get it worked out, that ought to be by now. Because all the people that were so bad and so horrible have died. The only ones in power now are the guy that started the revolution. You know what revolved? The money, it revolved into his account. And the poor are still poor. And the needy are still needy. And the rich are still rich. You ever notice that? Let's everybody live the same. But as soon as you have the revolution, guess who lives in the big houses? Well, somebody's got to, right? Somebody's got to drive these nice cars. Don't blame it on me. Amen. Somebody's got to take over these bank accounts. I thought we were all supposed to be equal. Amen. Well, that's still good, Brother Grissom. You're teaching the truth here. Let me blow one more thing out of the water, and I'll quit meddling and go on. Some people teach that the church experimented with communism. Because the book of Acts says, and they had all things common. That's what communism is. Everybody has all things common. Right? Everybody sold their possessions. They put it in one pot. And they gave it as each man had need. Now, number one, it was a voluntary offering. Nobody was required to do that. Nobody had to do that. Nobody was forced to do that. The second reason that happened was because Jerusalem was very soon going to be totally destroyed. And God knew that. I said, God knew that. So they were going to lose it anyway. It wasn't an experiment, a failed experiment in communism. It was God looking a few years down the road and some people giving everything they had and said, we're going to lose it anyway. And they shared. Amen. And they shared. And others gave to them. Everybody say gave. It was not forced. It was not confiscated. It was not taxed. They gave it. God's into giving, isn't he? Anybody see any sunshine today? Did you pay for it? Anybody breathe today? Did you pay for it? Anybody enjoy the breeze today? Did you pay for it? No, you didn't. God's a giver. God gives and gives and gives. And he does it willingly. And he expects us to give willingly. Amen. He gives us commandments about giving in the Scripture. To be willingly. Amen. We have never forced anybody to give anything here. And we never will. When we take an offering, it's a free will offering. You give what you want to when you want to. Amen. And I just got a feeling that if you love God enough, giving's never a problem. But one of the first signs of a Christian having a problem is hardening of the giver. You start getting hardening of the giver, you look out, because there's some other things on the way. I had no idea I was going to say all this, but I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be on exhortation, aren't I? But I am exhorting. That's what exhortation is. We're exhorting here tonight. The word exhortation means to invite, to invoke, to implore, to console, and to comfort. And inflict. Amen. You know what? Somebody said that the job of the ministry is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. That's our job. How am I doing? Anybody feel afflicted? Amen. Or anybody feel comforted? That's our job tonight. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so he said, give yourself to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. You mean, really? You know what I hear? I hear people saying, oh, doctrine divides the church. No, it doesn't. Doctrine unifies the church. Doctrine simply means teaching. That's all it means. He said, Timothy, give yourself to teaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think teaching's important today. If you can tie your shoes, somebody taught you. If you can walk a straight line, somebody taught you. Amen. If you can dress yourself, somebody taught you. Teaching's important. If you can read, somebody taught you. If you can do math, somebody taught you. Teaching is important. In the church, teaching is important. Did you know that Jesus taught more in the Scripture than He preached? There are more times that you find Jesus teaching than you do preaching. But I've heard people say, well, I don't like teaching, I just like preaching. Then you wouldn't have liked the ministry of Jesus. Because He spent more time teaching than He did preaching. The ministry of preaching is for reaching. The ministry of teaching is to establish. You know what I find? A lot of people that don't like teaching and only like preaching, they're kind of unstable. Shake head like this right here. But you find some people that like teaching and they're founded, they're stable, they're secure. Because they take the time and the discipline to learn. It's more than an emotion. They find a foundation. Teaching is still important. That's why we still have Sunday school. And that's why we have Wednesday school. And that's why we have kids camp. And that's why we have upper room youth. Amen. And that's why we have Wednesday night service. We still believe in teaching. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody know the books of the Bible? Who taught you? Sunday school teacher somewhere. Amen. Somebody taught you the books of the Bible. You know what? I've taught a lot of Bible studies. And usually when I first go to a Bible study, and I don't tell them to turn to a certain book because they have no idea what I'm talking about. Many people think that the apostles or the epistles are the wives of the apostles. That ain't so. Amen. An epistle is a letter written to a church. It's amazing what people don't know about the Bible because they're not taught. That's not their fault. It's not their fault. Nobody taught them. It's our job to teach them. Amen. It's our job to teach them. And so when you teach a Bible study, let me tell you a good way to do this. Now, a lot of people don't have a Bible anyway, so take them one just like yours. Go to the dollar store and get you a couple of dollar Bibles. And then whenever you teach a Bible study, you don't tell them to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. They said, huh? They don't want to sound ignorant, so they start thinking, looking through the book, and they'll never find that. So you just say, well, turn over here to page so-and-so. They can do that. They know numbers, but nobody's ever taught them the word of the Lord. That's what you're doing there. Amen. And everybody's got to start somewhere. Don't be ashamed of what you don't know. Just be willing to learn. Maybe you're starting late, but late's better than never. Amen. It's okay. Just start where you are. Praise the Lord. Well, this is real practical stuff tonight. I'm trying to wrap it up here. I hadn't even got past point number two. Amen. But let me skip on down here a little bit. My. Amen. Let me go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to talk a little more about this exhortation. What do we mean by exhort? 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14. He said, now we exhort you. That word, what does that word mean? We invite you. We invoke you. We implore you. We console you. We comfort you. Amen. We exhort you, brethren. Now, listen. He said, warn them that are unruly. That's part exhortation. Part of exhortation is warning people when they're unruly. The Greek word unruly also means lazy. That's sneaky, huh? He said, I exhort you, warn them that are lazy. Warn them that are unruly. And then he says, comfort the feeble-minded. Another word for feeble-minded is fearful. People that are fearful are feeble-minded. And then he said, support the weak. Everybody say, support the weak. Don't gossip about them. Don't criticize them. Don't judge them. Support them. That's what they need. That's why they're weak. They don't have much support. They need somebody to hold them up. I'm talking about exhorting here. He said, be patient toward all men. Ladies, did you get that? It didn't say anything about you. No. That's a general word. It's not talking about just men. It's talking about mankind. Amen. So he said, be patient. Be patient toward all. And then he said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. What do we say? I don't get mad, I get evil. What did Paul say? Don't render evil for evil. He said, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. In other words, in church and out of church. Seek to do good to all people. Amen. In the church and out of the church. We ought to treat people outside the church with just as much respect as we treat people in the church. Amen. When you have a little old waitress or waiter serving your food, you need to be real sweet to them. Because you don't know what they're going to do to your food in the kitchen. Amen. Be nice to them. Amen. Because you're a Christian, right? That's right. Don't you go in a restaurant and you leave a track on the table and you just insulted them and don't leave a tip. Don't have enough money to leave a tip, then don't eat in a restaurant. I'm talking about being a good Christian witness here. Hello? Y'all still with me out there? Did I lose anybody? Amen. That's right. I used to believe that, you know, if 10% was good enough for God, it was good enough for anybody. But I got convicted. Amen. And I understood that, you know, this is how these folks make a living. And so now I try to do right and treat them equally and even more than I give God, I'll give them a higher percentage. Not more money, just a higher percentage. Amen. But I'm just talking about being a good witness. You're doing good for people. You see what I'm saying? Amen. If you go to Whataburger, praise God, you don't have to give a tip. Amen. But if you go to a sit-down restaurant, expect to give a tip. I'm just giving you a tip. Woo! I'm still exhorting here, folks. We're not still exhorting. We call it hiding behind the word. Amen. Verse 16, he said, rejoice evermore. Yes. Amen. That's exhorting people. He said, evermore rejoice. Amen. Then he said, pray without ceasing. That's exhorting people. Pray every day. Pray all day every day. Stay in a spirit of prayer. Live in a spirit of prayer. You know what I'm saying? I know you can't be on your knees before God all day long, but you can stay in a spirit of prayer. You can keep the Lord on your mind. You stay connected all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's how you pray without ceasing. Amen. It's like an internet connection. You know, you don't have to be using it all the time, but you stay connected. It's like your cell phone. It's always connected, you know, unless you get out of range somewhere. But with God, you don't. If you're careful, you won't get out of range. Make sure you stay plugged in. Pray without ceasing. He said, everybody say, in everything. Did that say that? I think it did. In everything, give thanks. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's exhortation. Amen. Somebody hurt your feelings? Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Amen. Somebody gossip about you? Thank you. Amen. You're trying my patience here. Maybe it needs trying. Amen. One of the ways you know you're doing good, because people say bad about you. Right. If you're doing good, folks generally going to, you know, I heard a guy one time say, he was doing a funeral for this fella, and he said nobody ever said anything bad about him. And at first he thought that was good, and he got to thinking, well, you know what, you know, if you please everybody, which side are you on? If you do right, you're going to offend somebody. Because not everybody wants to do right. Isn't that right? If you're going to do right, not everybody wants to do right. But he said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody said, I want to know the will of God. I just gave it to you. In everything give thanks. And then he said, quench not the Spirit. Amen. I read about a little lady one time, and she was reading, and every time she'd come across something she didn't like, she'd slam her Bible and she'd say, little known and required. It's too late, honey. You done got it. It's dangerous to read the Word of God because you find out what God expects of you. But how else are you going to know? He said, quench not the Spirit. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. The Lord starts dealing with you, just let Him deal with you. The Lord starts talking to you, let Him talk. The Lord moves to get up and stand up and move around and run and jump and squeal. Amen. Don't quench the Spirit. I heard a pastor one time in a service. There was a little old lady dancing in the Holy Ghost. And things had calmed down a little bit. He said, sister, he said, sit down. And she just kept on going. And he said, sister, sit down. It's time to go on the service. And she just kept going. And finally he got a little stern. He said, sister, sit down. And she just kept going. He said, now that's what I call being in the Holy Ghost. And so he was a very wise man. So he got a couple of sisters. He said, I want you to take sister so-and-so over to the prayer room, and y'all just keep on worshiping God. He said, well, we're going to go ahead and have church out here. That's how you do that, you see. We don't quench the spirit. Let her go ahead and get her blessing. But she can get it in the prayer room just as easily while we go ahead and have church out here. That's how all things decently and in order. See? Amen. But it's not right for one person just to shout and shout and shout and everybody else sit there and not get anything. So when it's time, don't ever be offended. If you want to pray and you want to worship and you're up in the Holy Ghost and you need to stay connected, fine. You just go right on back to the prayer room and you get with it. But we got some folks to feed out here, and we need to feed those that are not plugged in like you're plugged in. Amen. Now, if everybody's doing that, fine. This is the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're all involved, and that's good. But if it's just one or two, then you need to go on and get your blessing, but then let us feed the flock. That's good, Brother Grizzle. That's wisdom right there. That's biblical. But quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Let it go ahead and flow. And then he said, despise not prophesying. Amen. In other words, don't despise preaching. Amen. Enough said. Prove all things. You know, this is good. The Bible said of the Bereans in the Bible, it said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they searched the Bible or the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was telling them was true. Don't be insulted if somebody wants to know where you found that in the Bible. Let me say that again. Don't be insulted if somebody wants to know something that you preached or said and they want to know where you found that. You know what? Some of the things you think in the Bible are not in the Bible. That's right. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought something was in the Bible and it wasn't? I have. I know this is silly, but the first time I got ready to do a wedding, those vows ain't in there anywhere. I went from lid to lid, generations to revolutions, and I could not find it. Amen. There's a lot of things you think are in the Bible, but they're not in the Bible. How many have heard this one? God will not live in an unclean temple. That's not a verse. You won't find that in Scripture. If he wouldn't live in an unclean temple, what's he doing in us? Does that mean every time you tell a lie, the Holy Ghost departs? Does that mean every time you gossip, the Holy Ghost departs? Does that mean every time you lose your temper, the Holy Ghost departs? No. God stays in you and deals with you. That's where conviction comes from. Amen. Conviction comes because God doesn't flee. He's working on the inside. But you see, there's a lot of things we think are verses. They're not verses. Every tub should sit on its own bottom. Well, that's not biblical. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not a verse. There's a lot of things that people think are in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. So prove all things. Look it up. Get you a good concordance. I recommend the Strong's or the Young's. They're exhaustive. And if it's in the Bible, it'll be in one of them. And so learn to look things up. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. I'm talking about exhortation. Hold fast that which is good. You find something good, you hang on to it. That's why I love my wife. I'm going to hang on. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Now, I thought all you wives would say amen on that. Goodness gracious. Am I losing you? Amen. All you husbands, you ought to say amen on that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hold fast. You find something good, he said, hang on to it. Don't be looking. Don't be hanging on looking around either. Amen. No, sir. I've heard people say that say, well, just because you're married don't mean you can't look at the menu. That's one menu you don't be looking at. Because for you, that ain't on the menu. You already made your decision. You stick with it. Woo! Boy, I'm getting in hot water here. Isn't this fun? Are we having a good time tonight? He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. One time I was with somebody, I don't remember who it was, and we stopped at a gas station, and he had just lit up a cigarette. And I was standing, and he just handed it to me and said, here, hold this. And he's putting gas in the car. I sure didn't want him holding it. I didn't want to be holding it. I'm sitting here with this thing trying to hide it, thinking, man, I hope nobody sees me with this. That'll start some gossip. So if you ever see somebody holding something that they ought not to be holding, don't be too quick to judge. Because sometimes we get ourselves in a pickle so quick. But that's what we mean, right? When we say abstain from the appearance of evil. You're not doing anything, but it looks like you might be doing something. That's why you don't look at that menu. That's abstaining from the appearance of evil. Amen. And so we learned that we don't just do evil things, but we don't want to be thought of as doing certain things. Now, you'll be accused of enough things even if you obey this verse. You don't have to be doing something for people to accuse you of doing something. I've been accused of all kinds of things that I didn't do. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not a drug dealer. Amen. But it has been reported that I am. How interesting. I don't know where that came from, but it did. Let me get on to the last E. Ease into it here. The last E is evangelism. The purpose of the church is to evangelize. Now, exaltation is important because that's where our power comes from. That's our foundation. That's our relationship with God. Everything flows out from that. And the exhortation flows out from exaltation. If we're not exalting the Lord, then we're not going to have anything to exhort. What we get to comfort and to encourage and to strengthen, it has to flow from exaltation. When we bless the Lord, He inspires us and helps us. Then we can help others. Also, evangelism comes from that same source, exaltation. When you lift up the Lord and you see the Lord, you want others to know Him like you know Him. You want God to do for them what you know He has done for you. And so that's evangelism. It flows out of that overflow. Praise the Lord. And how many want everybody to know? We used to sing a little song in Sunday school. Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Everybody ought to know. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Mark 16, I'll hurry, I'm nearly through. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word gospel, from that we get our word evangelism. Amen. It means sharing good news. I believe that Jesus is good news. I believe that salvation is good news. I believe that deliverance is good news. I believe that healing is good news. I believe that peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost is good news. So I share that tonight, not out of obligation, but joyfully I want to share that tonight. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Everybody say, these signs shall follow them. Shall follow them. They're not following the signs. Signs are following them. I know folks that would say, well, you know, if I could just get to Brother so-and-so, I believe that they could be healed. You know what that is? That's following a sign. The sign's not following you. You're following the sign. Well, I only like to hear Brother so-and-so. Well, you're following a sign. I'm going to go over there because miracles, signs, and wonders happen every 5 minutes or your money back. That's following signs. Many people have been led astray following signs. You don't follow signs. You let the signs follow you. Isn't that what this said? Am I reading that right? It's up there on the screen, isn't it? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. For they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Signs following believers. Signs following believers. Amen. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's evangelism. Praise God. I think it's a good idea, but I've seen churches, I've been to churches, over the door when you're leaving, it says you're entering the mission. And some of them, as you drive out of the parking lot, it'll have a sign that says, you're entering the mission field. As soon as we leave this service tonight, we enter into the harvest. That's where evangelism takes place. This is exhortation. We're feeding the flock here tonight. Amen. We're ministering to the saved. But when we leave here, we're going to go to evangelism. And we need to get in the evangelistic mode. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to tell others about what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your time, your attention. Amen. I know I've taken a lot of your time. Amen. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much for standing with me. Sometimes I get a little carried away. I hope I didn't offend anybody. Amen. I try to use a little humor. You know, sometimes humor helps us to take something that's a little hard to take, and it makes it a little easier to take. Amen. We're not trying to be offensive in any way. Amen. But we do want to preach the word of the Lord and exhort folks, encourage folks, comfort folks. Amen. We want to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. And let's live for God. Let's serve the Lord. Amen. Exaltation. Everybody say exaltation. Exhortation. And evangelism. Those are the three E's. They're essential. That's what makes the church go forward. Amen. We got to have exaltation first. Everything flows from there. I heard somebody say many, many, many years ago, never forgotten it. They said, don't talk to men about God until you've talked to God about men. Amen. You get on your knees and you get a burden and you get compassion. Brother Russell did a great job in Canton today, preached a beautiful message about evangelism. Amen. And one of the points he made was about compassion. Amen. If you don't have compassion, you can't do evangelism. Amen. This is not about how many tracts you can hand out. Amen. It's not about how many people you can tell they're going to hell. It's about compassion. It's about sharing the good news, Jesus Christ, with the world. Takes time, takes effort, takes patience, compassion. Amen. But if we'll share, they will come. I told the story today about a friend of ours. Some of you remember Brother Dorf, he worked here some years ago, he and Sister Dorf in this church. He went to a men's conference, and a couple of guys came up in that men's conference, and they said they were so happy to see him, and they said, Brother Dorf, it's good to see you. And you could just tell they were so happy, and he looked at them, and they could tell that he didn't know who they were. And finally they said, you don't know us, do you? He said, well, I hate to admit it, but no, I don't. You know, that's awkward, isn't it? And so they said, well, we were in prison, and we worked in your department. He works for the prison system in Illinois. And they said, we were in the prison, and we worked in your department. And they said, you always treated us with respect. You're always kind to us. And you were always the same. And they said, we saw your example, and we found out what kind of church you went to. And they said, when we got out of here, we went to the church, kind of church you go to, and we got the Holy Ghost. We were baptized in Jesus' name, and we just wanted you to know that we're here because of you. Amen. We're here because of you. Because of your... That's evangelism. That's evangelism. Young people, in your school, that's what you do. You're just a Christian. Every day. You treat everybody right. You treat everybody with respect. You treat everybody the same. You're kind. And to everybody. And every day you go to school and you're a Christian in every situation. And they look at you. And they see Jesus, and then they know you're different. Sometimes they won't say anything. Sometimes they'll actually make a little fun of you, but you just keep on being a Christian. And somewhere, somebody is going to say, you know what? I want to be like so-and-so. They're Christians. That's our job. Amen. Well, thank you again. God bless you. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us, shall we? God, we want to do a good job. You match this particular church with this particular generation. You have saved this group of people for the end of time. You, for some reason, matched us with the end times when there are 7 billion people on the planet that need to know Jesus Christ. You match this generation, and knowing that we could reach this generation, and we want to do that. As we exalt you and draw strength and inspiration and gifts and spiritual gifts and power from you, that's how we're going to reach this generation. We're not going to reach it in our wisdom and our knowledge and with our gifts. But the Holy Ghost is going to inspire us. Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to lead us. The Holy Ghost is going to help us to reach people in this generation. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. Use me, Lord, to reach my generation. Amen. Anybody feel that way tonight? You want to be used of the Lord? Amen. Help me, Jesus. Help me to be a good witness. Help me to let my light shine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we do that? Be used of God?
To be
on earth, I long to be like him. Oh, all through life's journey.